Good evening. I want to welcome everybody to Monday, August 25th, 2014, 7 p.m. City of Shore Acres Council Meeting. First item of business is roll call.
Nancy Chanel, present.
Bo Bunker, present.
Rick Moses, present.
Richard Adams, present.
Mike Wheeler, present.
Neil Moyer is absent. Okay. Thank you. Next item of business, pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands, one nation under God, indivisible, and liberty and justice for all.
To honor the Texas flag,
I pledge allegiance to the Texas,
one nation under God,
one and indivisible.
Next item is 3.0, special presentations. Tonight we have Mr. Eldrick from Odco that's going to go over some general safety tips and concerns that the citizens may in the future have or had in the past. We will allow the citizens to ask questions. However, it'll be after the presentation. If you do ask a question, I ask that you cover all your questions at that time so we can keep things streamlined. If you have a cell phone, I ask you please turn it off at this time or put it on mute. Mr. Eldrick.
All right, I appreciate the opportunity to come over here. I wasn't supposed to do this, so this is my first time to do this presentation, so you bear with me. Go over a facility overview.
Just the right side.
Materials managed, hazard prevention, incident response, and then any question and answers you might have. An overview of the site. I know y'all probably seen it before. We have currently, you said the center's the pointer thing?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We built 9 new tanks we'll talk about later on right here that are just now coming online complete. We're in the process of building 9 more tanks right here. These buildings are down. They're putting pilings in now also. So we'll have 18 new tanks coming in. Eventually, everything in the center of this project will move outside. We've leased this property here from the Port of Houston. All of these buildings will come out. We'll build a new 2-story building in here to house everybody and the control room. The current layout of OTH, we have 110 stainless tanks currently, counting the new ones we have, or 110 tanks, 41 which are stainless. Gives you the capacities there. New expansion coming online, which will be the new tanks that are in here, the one they're talking about, the new ones that will come on mid-2015. We have 2 45,000 TDW ship docks, 4 30,000 barrel barge docks. This being the barge docks here, and the new ship docks, and then the future ship docks here, and the future tanks down the line. We have 114 rail car loading stations. We have 14 truck loading stations. Everywhere you see in here is the truck loading, and then the rail cars are all in the tracks that we have in here. Pipeline connections we have coming in, of course, belong to Enterprise. These are our LPG spheres, but all our pipelines come here and then goes across the street to American Acryl. Materials managed, we have between 60 and 75 different chemicals at one time. Majority are liquid or ambient temperature pressure tanks. Typically exhibit one or more hazard properties, which are flammability, acute toxicity, and reactivity. The hazard prevention, we have an extension evaluation and approval process before we bring in the chemical. We review all the potential hazards or anything, problems that might cause us. We evaluate the equipment requirements and what it takes to manage it. We have an identification of training needs. We have to have everybody trained before we bring the chemical in. And then we have a resolution of action items prior to bringing this chemical in that we go over and solve before we bring it in. We have continuous monitoring of all the storage tanks, extensive instrumentation. They'll all have emergency shutdown systems on them for a high level. So they have a high level that automatically shut out. We have 24/7 shift coverage out there. We have a preventive maintenance program ongoing, inspecting the tanks. Every 10 years, we have to go in the tank to inspect it to make sure there's no leaks in the floor. We just did 2 new tanks last week. We do repairs. We do helium testing to see if there's any leaks in the wells or any thin spots. And we just did our potable water tank, had to reline it all, brought in temporary tanks for the time being. Periodic shutdowns, we usually have at least 1 or 2 shutdowns a year where we redo our electrical. The plant's 25 years old, and it shows its age. So we have to update with shutdowns every year to update these systems. We put in new boilers last year. Incident response, we have fixed and portable fire protection systems. We train a response team monthly on site, annually at A&M. We have pre-planned scenarios and regular drills at least 3 times a year. Off-site support, we have the local authorities, police, sheriff, fire departments of LaPorte and Seabrook, along with the SEMA and the Clean Channel, and any major incidents. We have third-party contractors like OilMop that comes out in case we were to spill any water or anything into the water or whatever. Community notification, we have the eMERGE system along with the Caroline. They're both tied in now. I know y'all don't have the eMERGE system. LaPorte does, which I think LaPorte then would contact y'all and let y'all know of anything imminent. But there would be on the Caroline also because both systems are tied together. Any questions? And before we go into questions, we are doing the pile driving over there on these pilings, 40-foot pilings. They're in the center of the facility. We've monitored over here at the water. You can faintly hear it at the end of 146. Nobody's complained about it, but they are doing it till 9:30 at night, starting tonight. If there's any complaints, there's the number. Or you can call me, and I can give you my number, office number also. And it's 2368, it's the only difference there. They're only going to be doing it for a little while. Of course, I know you know LBC next door is going to be doing around 500 pilings also, but there's, I think, during the day. But we're trying to get caught up and get these pilings in before the weather gets any worse. So.
Robert, at the plant, have y'all had any? So we'll just say the last 24 months, has there been any explosions, any releases, anything at all at your plant as far as safety record wise? For the folks that aren't here, can hear over the video, I just want to reassure them so they know what's
going on. No, we haven't had any major incidents at all, a few small vapor releases. We had a heart attack on a ship the other day on a barge. Really wasn't related to us.
Non-work related.
You're right.
Yes.
And, LaPorte EMS had to come in and take the captain off the barge. But, other than that, no, we haven't had anything major. I mean, we've had some, we sounded our horn one night because we had 100 contractors working. We had a little bit of vapor odor get out. And we sounded it to warn them to get them to move up until we could figure out what it was. Nothing that really warranted anything, just a precautionary item.
Council members?
I've got, but Nancy, go ahead.
Are you here?
Yeah.
Alderman Snell?
He's already looking at me like, I know she's on with questions. This is just stemming from an incident on a Tuesday, July 10th. And I know that you were out of the office. And it was brought to attention by multiple citizens that an alarm of sorts went off at like 4 o'clock that morning.
Right.
And then it was several hours later that an all-clear audible was sounded. And then... that there was nothing on the Caroline, there was nothing at all done.
The eMERGE was sent out, but the Caroline was not put on. And that was the operator's error that was working the board that night. Because when you go to eMERGE, there's one little box up here to the Caroline, which automatically sends this same message to the Caroline, and he did not check that box. And that was the precautionary that I was just saying that what we did to warn the contractors to move out of the way until we could figure out what the problem was. Which was a pump seal that had leaked down into a low-lying area, and they had a nuisance odor more than anything.
Right.
But it scared some people. So
Well, my question then, in knowing that, and we did receive an email from David Stahl about this on the 10th, is y'all planning on doing re-education of the operators? Has that indeed occurred?
Yes.
Look at that.
We educated them and to make sure that it goes on there, and to double check the Caroline to make sure it is out there for sure.
That's all I needed. Thank you.
Robert, since y'all are our neighbors, and you know, we're kind of nervous sometimes about having big facilities around us, not knowing what goes on. Give me an example of a bad scenario that might happen at your facility that might affect us.
The worst case scenario would be acrylonitrile natural probably release. It would have a toxicity and a flammability. I wouldn't really worry about the flammability part, because if it was to catch fire, that would probably be the best scenario. But if we were to have a release, it has a toxic vapor that hangs low to the water. I think it would dissipate over the water where you wouldn't be affected by it, unless it was a catastrophic lightning strike, blow up a tank type thing.
What happened to a person?
They died.
Well, it depends. I mean, how much are we talking about? Catastrophic tank ruptures. It's in the bay. We're following it to cut it down pretty quick. So it would be a irritation to the lungs type situation. Of course, if it was a super bad release, then you know it could be bad.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
I'm sorry. What is your position out there?
I'm the fire chief and fire the chief? Safety and emergency response team coordinator.
And you said y'all operate a boiler facility for steam?
We have a boiler that operates to heat up barges and things like that.
Okay.
And we
gas
check,
powered?
It's a gas powered, yes. We check the NOx and everything monthly with dragger tubes to make sure everything, all our emissions. That's why we have the brand new boiler we put in for that reason.
As far as the hazardous, the types of hazardous chemicals we're dealing with, as far as reactivity, are you defining that reactivity as far as, you know, something that will happen if it's exposed to air, to water, or a multitude, like a total failure where you actually have two chemicals that are now crossing paths, like maybe somebody didn't clean
it? No, acrylonitrile is flammable and it's a toxic also.
Okay.
So it's the worst of the two, you know.
That's right.
If it catches on fire and it burns off, then that's the best avenue for acrylo. But as far as the chemical, the toxic, to me, is the scariest part.
Okay.
That's what I would call the worst part, the worst case scenario. I would rather have it catch fire and let it burn.
Gotcha.
In the worst case scenario.
Secondary acrylonitrile basically is highly flammable. The thing about it is, it's more of an inner, not an outer. It's going to feel the skin itching. It's going to be a chest X-ray basically, and you're going to feel the throat burning. But it's going to have to be basically numerous blood work done for it.
Right, and it would, like I said, it'd have to be catastrophic for it to get across the water because it hangs so low to the water.
Any other questions from council? Questions from citizens?
Thank you. And if you need to know any more, of course, I can get somebody else here and my boss here with a lot more questions.
Well, we appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to come.
Anytime y'all need me, come over and y'all want to talk.
Well, we'd like you very much, sir. We hope you have a good evening.
You too.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Robert. Uh-huh. Okay. Nothing else? We and the citizens and whatnot. We'll move on to 4.0. Once again, thank you. Approval of minutes, 4.1, regular council meeting, August 11th, 2014. Someone would like to make a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Adams. We have a second.
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Wheeler. Any questions from the council? All those in favor?
Aye.
All those against? The ayes have it. Moving to 4.2, the council workshop meeting, August 12th, 2014. If people have time, council's had time to go over that. I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve the minutes. The council workshop meeting on August 12th.
Thank you, Alderman Wheeler. For the second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Mr. Bunker. Any questions from the council on that? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. So we're on 5.0. 5.1, the mayor's minutes, Mayor Moses, meetings attended. I had the honor to meet with the chancellor and the assistant chancellor today, myself along with David, in my office to discuss some working relationships to open up a dialogue between the city of Shore Acres and the San Jack School College. It was a very positive meeting. We should be having a secondary meeting somewhere down the road in the very near future. I will say this is something that we had discussed in our previous budget meeting to go over some issues. At this time, I don't want to make any speculations. I can say it was a very extremely positive meeting, and it's moving in a positive direction. I have to announce on September the 2nd, they will start cleaning clearing the property over there, bulldozers. So you'll start seeing bulldozers running in there here very soon, and we'll start the cleaning process on September 2nd. September the 8th, pad work will begin. Basically start laying the pad down for the college and the maritime area, trying to start getting that ready. I do know the chancellor had mentioned that she's in talks with the Port Authority about some additional property back there in a certain area that I think is not theirs. They're trying to acquire it, but at this time it's still in the air between the school and them. November the 5th, they will have a groundbreaking. My understanding, it will be at the location they were going to use the Houston Yacht Club, and my understanding the dates were full for the Yacht Club, so they were going to do it at the groundbreaking at the site. They will give us an official notification to council members and whomever else they're going to invite, whether it's general public or not. They're going to let us know about that. The move-in date is on October the 2015. So October 2015 is when they plan on being moving in and start things rolling. So in the very near future, we're going to start to see trucks and trailers and all sorts of stuff going on in our city for this college to get going. I look very forward to a working relationship with them. They are going to be following up with the city of LaPorte and with Clemson also. They are looking very strongly at our police department to do specialty work for them that can help us down the road. So it was a very positive meeting. So I'm looking forward to working with them. It was a great meeting. Any questions from council?
Do they know about our family of 8 deer that live right here? Don't worry about our deer. Do they get little babies right now?
They will try their best, but they can't stop progress, unfortunately.
Okay.
I have one concern, and that's when they do start with the heavy truck traffic and moving equipment in and out. At some point in time, it's going to be in the wintertime, it's going to be muddy, and making sure that they have proper equipment to clean up so that they're not tracking mud up and down the road.
That's a very good question, and I will tell you that they have the contractor that is part of their contract, similar to the folks that we have doing the work for us, to be shoveling that mud out of the way. The contractor is going to be responsible basically for flagment security type things with that additional information, so to take care of those issues. So they're going to be, I will tell you, the chancellor was very adamant about making sure that they do everything they can to make the transition very smooth. I really feel that she's going to push to make everything work as smooth as possible. Okay. No other questions? We'll move on to 6.0, public hearing, public comments. We'll move down to 6.1, citizens' comments. This is the opportunity for the public to address the council or comment on items which appear on the agenda. Time is limited to 5 minutes per speaker. Comments are to be directed toward the city council. Dialogue with the audience is not permitted. Council members are prohibited by law to participate in discussion, deliberation of the items not specified, identified on this agenda. With that being said, I know we don't have a very big clue, but you'll come to the podium, sir, and announce your name, your address.
Michael Schnell, 620 Greenwood. I just had a question about, we're talking about the San Jack situation and coming in with all this construction and all that. And my question is there going to be like more police presence in that area? Being the fact that I am right off the road, it's going to be 2 blocks from my house. They're going to be bringing construction workers in. There's going to be all kind of people in there, helpers of all sorts. And I'm not saying that I have anything against construction workers because I did it myself years ago when I was starting out. And I'm just concerned about maybe an increase of crime or something maybe going on in the neighborhood. People are coming in from different neighborhoods going, hey, check this place out. It's a pretty nice place. There's some nice houses. People got some nice things off in there. That's the question that I have. Something that I would hope that you guys would address.
Very good. Thank you, sir. We appreciate it. Anyone else? Okay. Now, being said, we'll move on to 7.0, administrative reports. 7.1, City Administrator Dave Stahl, General Activity Report. Stahl.
Good evening. I've got a few general things and then the items that are listed on the agenda. We have a new Parks Department employee who has begun working for the city last week. His name is Joel Lewis, and you should see him out there working. He's already been in the hole working on water lines, and looks like he's going to be a good employee. I have scheduled hydrant flow testing for 27 hydrants, which would be all of the hydrants that are east of Old Highway 146 for September 2nd. That includes three new hydrants and two replaced hydrants or relocated hydrants that we have east of Old 146. This will follow the completion of our new water main that has been installed from Water Plant 1 to Sunrise and Oakdale. Looking forward to those results, I think we'll have dramatic increases in water flow capacity to the east end of the city. We'll allow us to take a lot of the hydrants that are currently painted red and make them at least orange, if not green. The gateway sign, we're now in the process and have been working for about a month with National Signs to put that on our wide area network so that we can update the sign from City Hall, which is the first step in our long-range plans of putting it on the IPAWS system so that emergency warnings will automatically appear on the sign without user intervention. They have ordered parts from the manufacturer that will interface the sign directly to our local area network on our Ethernet through our WAN, and as soon as those parts come in, they'll complete that work. We have been notified by Harris County of their plans to change the alignment of Choate Road between Highway 146 and Bay Area Boulevard. It is an extensive realignment. They will take the lanes on the Bay Area end that are currently now divided with a ditch between, and they'll move both east and westbound lanes north of the ditch. There's an island that is created on the other side of the railroad tracks where it does stay separated, which will allow for a sweeping into the north lanes, which right now, as you know, there's a 90-degree right and a 90-degree left turn for westbound traffic. Well, that will sweep in. And they're also providing U-turn lanes so that 18-wheelers, chemical trucks, will be able to make a U-turn in either direction, eastbound or westbound. That's all great, except that we have a 12-inch force main that runs in the county's right-of-way from this side of the railroad tracks to Berea Boulevard and beyond. And that is in a county right-of-way. And so at their request or demand, we're always subject to having to relocate that. It is on the conflict list. It looks like we're going to have maybe as much as a quarter mile of 12-inch force main that's going to have to be moved because it will be under the new pavement. That's costly and problematic. The city of La Porte has a parallel force main of the same size going to the same location. I talked with the city engineer in La Porte last week, and they're not quite certain how much of what's going to be required to be moved of theirs as well. And I have pitched the idea that if we are forced to relocate that we consider doing it under a single contract and have the same contractor move both lines at the same time. It would be a great economy of scale rather than us both going out independently to move the lines. I mean, they're literally a couple feet apart from each other and run parallel the whole distance. So, don't know what that is going to be. This is just a heads-up moment that that is on the horizon. I have been asked by the Texas Floodplain Management Association to present a white paper at the technical conference that's being held in San Antonio next week. And I'll be doing that on Thursday afternoon. It'll also give me an opportunity to get my continuing education hours by listening to other people present white papers on topics. I'll specifically be speaking about the city of Shore Acres special storm surge zone that we adopted and have in place. It matches up with the limit of moderate wave action, which is a new determination that's going to be on the new maps. Will be on our new map. That delineation matches right up with what the city adopted as our special storm surge area. And we are the first city in the United States who has adopted regulations that comply with the limit of moderate wave action recommendations of FEMA. And so it's of great interest to a lot of communities of what we did and why we did it and how we got there. So that's what I'll be talking about there. The items on the agenda, the West Forest Street waterline project, we completed that. The fire hydrant's back in service. That line's been relocated. As you know, Harris County is going to replace that street for us from asphalt to concrete to match the rest of the streets in that area. The same contractor that did our street work had the low bid for Harris County, so that will be Marcon. They have been awarded the contract. I don't have a start date for that. I don't know that a notice to proceed has been issued. The Shore Acres water line, they have all of our new water line in the ground. They have all the valves in the ground. They have the hydrants in. Last Thursday, they sanitized the line. Friday, they drew samples. I did not hear today getting back on those samples. Today they should have the test samples back. Today they started doing all what's called a long side tap. So you may have seen a whole series of small holes along Shoreacres Boulevard and Sunrise. They put the taps for the homes that are across the street that are going on the new line. They put the taps in when they put the line in. And then there was a large roll of poly that you might have seen on the ground, black plastic. That black plastic is already tied in, and today they were taking that and going underneath the street to the other side for the houses that line will serve. This is in preparation of making that line live, and when they do that, they'll move the houses on to the new service at the same time. We have a number of interconnects. Their goal is to do all of them this week. So they'll be tying into the existing lines in front of the water plant, at Byway, at Westview, at Sunrise, at Sunrise and Shore Acres Boulevard, and at Sunrise in Oakdale. And doing a couple, three or four a day. Some of those locations have as many as four different connections to be made.
And it's supposed to rain every day this week.
Yeah, and the comment was made about it raining this week. One of the things that was impressive with this crew is during this project, when it rained, they just kept on going.
That was a very
they just pumped the hole and kept working. So I don't think the rain will slow them down if that happens. So that then puts us in good position to have everything in full order in time for Tuesday's test with the hydrants, and that ought to really be an impressive improvement. The next item I have on the list is heavy pickup. I think we finally found the right button to push at Republic Service. I had several emails, phone calls, and visits from their director of operations, and to the point that things that got missed last week, they came out on Saturday and the grapple truck and picked that up. Director of operations himself drove the neighborhood and made his own list. In addition to what we provided. And as far as I know, today, this morning, I checked those that were on our list, and all of those have been finished over the weekend. And he He promises that they will stay on it and it won't get behind again. And so far, so good. And I hope he doesn't find a new employer. It always seems to happen. And that's the administrative reports. And I'll pause before we go to the financial report.
Robert, you're welcome later, sir. I don't know if you're saying you want to hear what's going on, but I didn't know if you were waiting for me to dismiss you, but you're welcome.
No, I'm just, you know.
All right, thank you. Well, we appreciate you staying. 7.2 monthly financial reports.
Mayor?
Yes.
I have a question about 7.1.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Under the general activity report, Mr. Stahl, I have a question about the new employee that was hired, and this is likened back to an email that was sent to Mayor, Council, and yourself by citizen David Jennings about a safety concern he had. Mr. Ingram there in the public works, with a new person he didn't recognize hanging on to a piece of equipment going down the road. And then Mr. Saw, you indicated and acknowledged receipt of such. I just wanted to know if anything has been done to further train these individuals under OSHA standards as far as safe utilization of heavy equipment.
Issues and complaints relating to personnel are strictly prohibited under the city code from being discussed at a council meeting by the administrator or council.
Okay. All right.
Any other questions? Okay. Moving on to 7.2, monthly financial report. Mr. Stahl.
In your packet is the financial report. We have the totals through June 30th of 2014. And I would point out that on what is numbered pages 8 and 9 is the water department. On 8 is the revenue. And on 8 and 9 are the expenditures. And you can see here what the water sales are and what the billing is, the collected. I know that was of interest to council of what our water sales were through that time period. It was $174,818. In water sales, and our water expense, either the individual water itself, surface water, which was $79,356, or the entire operation of the department, which is $318,970. The checking accounts, you can see the general fund has a balance of $64,059.62 at the end of the month. The utility fund, $92,449.57. And we are holding customer service deposits in the amount of $55,673.81. Our community development block grant account had a balance of $1,386.91. Our tech school balance at the end of June, $954,932.56, which is $229.66 more than we started the fiscal year with. Our certificates of deposit, of course, we have not drawn anything on certificates of deposit, and you see the maturity dates there, and their value, maturity value, is $255,852. Our tax revenue, we continue to have some tax money coming in. We have collected $762,892 in current taxes to date, which is 99% of the levy. And we've also collected $5,693 to date in arrears or delinquent taxes. Altogether, we have collected $795,248 in taxes, and that is in excess of the $769,489 that we had budgeted for this year. so we are ahead on tax revenue. On sales tax, we continue the trend of doing better than last year. In June, we collected $5,554 in general sales tax and $1,388.51 in road maintenance. You may notice from the prior reports that the numbers have shifted. They had been shifted to reflect the only numbers that shifted were the 2012, and they were shifted to reflect the month in which the money was received as opposed to the month in which the they represent, so that we're comparing apples to apples. And that was a correction that I noticed in preparation of this report. And that's all I have in the financial report.
Thank you, Mr. Stoll. Any questions from the council? Item 8.0, business. 8.1, consideration approval of invoices. The council's had time to go through the invoices. I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Adams. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Ms. Snell. Any questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? All right. Thank you. Moving on to item 8.2, consideration and approval of ordinance number 2014-164, designating the Bay Area Observer as the official city newspaper. Mr. Stahl.
I'm at the request of council. Went back and checked again to see if there was a paper other than the Chronicle that met the requirements for our elections, and had discovered that the Bay Area Observer now meets that criteria. Because of a Supreme Court ruling, we no longer have to get Department of Justice clearance to change the newspapers, which makes it much easier. And so the change to the Observer will be a significant cost savings to the city over the course of future years. It's just under $10 a column inch for the Observer, and the Chronicle in our discounted rate was about $42 a column inch. So we'll save about $30, $33 a column inch for mandatory advertising. And so that being the case, the city reserves the right in its ordinance that it adopts at the beginning of each year to change the official newspaper at any time. So I'm bringing to you an ordinance that will make the Bay Area Observer the official newspaper in which we would publish our legal notices and other notices that are required by law.
Thank you, Mr. Stahl. On the table, 8.2, consideration approval of ordinance number 2014-164, designating the Bay Area Observer as official city newspaper. Do we have a motion? Entertain a motion at this time.
Make a motion that we consider approval of ordinance 2014-164.
Thank you, Mr. Wood. I have a second.
Second.
Thank you, Ms. Snell. Do we have any questions from the council? All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Okay. Thank you. Moving on to item 8.3, consideration and action to accept a proposal from Plummer Brown and Hill to perform a financial audit for the general fund fiscal year ending 2014, utility fund fiscal year ending 2014, including compliance with the Single Audit Act, requirements of the state federal funds received adoption of ordinance number 2014-165, authorizing the mayor to sign the agreement. Mr. Stahl.
Yes, I requested a proposal from Patillo, Brown, and Hill for follow-on audit. They have conducted the city's audit the last few years, particularly during the time we've been doing the federal grants. The single audit is an important element of that and additional cost. They've provided a letter proposal that holds the cost of the same as it was last year without any increase. It is a hard number not to exceed, which protects us in our budget, and they've done good work for us, and I recommend that we continue with them. I would also note that now changing a horse in the middle of the river while you have a single act audit would be very costly, because any auditor would have to back up to the beginning of the grant and revalidate all of the financial audits for that federal money until the grant's closed out.
Thank you, Mr. Stahl. Right, so, board, do we have a motion on item ordinance number 2014-165.
I'd make a motion that we consider or we accept proposal from Tittle Brown and Hill to do our financial audit for the general fund.
Thank you, Mr. Weir. Do I have a second?
I second.
Thank you, Mr. Bopper. Any questions from council?
I have a question. I would just like to know, even in the audit committee meetings of past and then a meeting with the auditor last year, you know, customary that you turn over every, at least every 4 years. I'm just wondering how much longer we anticipate using the same firm. I do have questions about utilizing the same firm this long, and I do understand the implications of changing because we're dealing with grant money, but we really probably didn't anticipate dealing with grant money this far out after the hurricane. So I'm just kind of, I mean, is this going to be our last year to utilize? I mean, sometime we're going to have to change.
I think we hit a number. We talked about six. How many years has it been now, David?
They've done 5 years worth of audits. Well, they've done 5 years. They've done the audits. They've done 6 years worth because the first year I hired them to do two fiscal year audits. Prior to that, it had been several years since the city had any audit done at all. Prior to that, we had the same auditor for more than 30 years consecutively. It's my personal rule of thumb and practice, and that's what I represented to council on the audit committee, is 6 years and then change auditors. You like to have a fresh set of eyes, and this particular firm sends a different set of field auditors each time, and they change the partner that's been over our audit once during this period of time. So being a large firm, we have got more variety in who comes out and looks at it, but I still think 6 years is a good time to change. My expectation is that we'll be closing out our federal grants. It won't be this year because we still have around this water line is the last of our federal grants, and it's not closed out, and we also haven't made the final payment. We haven't accepted final acceptance of the water plant number one either, which is one of our largest grants. So we may get hung a little bit there, but as soon as we're clear of the grants, I would certainly recommend that we look at changing the audit first.
So what we're looking at is this is a 6-year go around, so probably one more time to be completed than we have. Alderman Snell?
No. Ask and answer.
Okay. Any other questions from council? Would like to make a motion.
Excuse me.
I have a second.
Got that.
Everybody. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those against?
Me.
Yeah. Mike, you said just correct. Okay, the ayes have it. Yeah, I got caught up answering that email. Thank you, Richard. Moving on to 8.4. Consideration and action to approve the interlocal agreement with the Port of Houston Authority to provide mutual aid, fire, and emergency protection, and adoption of ordinance number 2014-166, authorizing the mayor to execute such agreement. Mr. Stahl.
Yeah, it's a common practice for local governments to adopt mutual aid agreements between them to provide supporting services. This one's a little bit unusual in that it is with the Port of Houston Authority's fire department, and typically it would be between two fire departments. We don't have a fire truck to send to help them, but we do have other resources, so this is a little bit broader that we might provide them assistance by way of police department or perhaps even public works if they need a backhoe or something for some emergency purpose. This has the new FEMA language in it, which is required for reimbursement in a nationally or a presidentially declared disaster. This is also provides the basis under which the Port of Houston Fire Department can provide us first responder services for EMS. Unlike LaPorte, they have a fully staffed paid truck, and when they send that over here, they're all EMTs, and they can provide first responder assistance before our ambulance arrives. They have a working agreement with Flimsy. Flimsy provides the EMS for the Port of Houston Authority and for the Bayport Terminal and the Cruise Terminal. And so they already have a good working relationship. This just provides them the legal coverage to send their trucks and personnel over here to help us out. There is no cost to us, by the way, in this. There is language in there that says that if it's a disaster, that they can bill us, and that's a necessity, so that we and they can get reimbursed if it's a reimbursable disaster.
Thank you. Council, is that a time to review ordinance number 2014-166? We entertain a motion.
Make a motion that we adopt ordinance 2014-166, entering into a understanding of fire emergency protection with the Port of Houston.
Thank you, Alderman Smell. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Conklin, any questions for the council?
Quick question, the memorandum of understanding, contractors worked that up, David?
Pardon?
Who created that?
Port of Houston Legal Department.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other question? Alderman Snell?
No.
Swalker? All those in favor?
Aye.
Against? The ayes have it. Move this item number 9.0, adjourn our meeting at 7:46.